This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And our telephone number is 321-1310, toll free 877-235-1310. If you have questions for our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial, they'd love to answer them for you right now. Again, our number is 321-1310, toll free 877-235-1310. Don't forget you can find Klaus Financial online, klausfinancial.com. That's spelled K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Telephone number 442-5637. That's 442-5637. Joining us this morning in studio, Malia Cuevas and CJ Klaus. How are you guys doing today?
Great. How are you, Sean?
Doing well. Great to see you, Malia. CJ, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. I like the facial hair, Sean.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Did you get a day off? Is that the result of?
Yes, exactly. Had a little free time. Thought, what the heck? Why not? I want to curl the mustache. We'll talk about that another day.
He's well manscaped.
That's for a different day. We'll talk about that stuff. We'll do a whole show on facial hair. CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas, as I mentioned, come to us from Klaus Financial. They are our retirement planning professionals, and they are here for you. If you have questions, they'd love to answer them for you. Again, our number is 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. One of the really cool things that we do on this show is the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week. We will be doing one this week as well. This week, got a $25 gift card for Google Play, and we'll tell you how you can win that. Just a little bit of a tip. Listen closely. Typically, the answer to the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week comes up during the program. Now, before we get rocking and rolling, speaking of the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week, let's take a look back. And for people who may have either missed or didn't get the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week last week, let's take a look at what last week's question was and what, more importantly, last week's answer was.
Yes, and thanks for listening. If you listen every week and you try to win the prize, and we appreciate your calls in. So last week's question was, after a person completes a valid 1035 exchange where there's no loan involved, what's the tax rate for that exchange? And I think even Sean got this answer right last week. There are no taxes due in a valid 1035 exchange, and that's what we like. Now, eventually when the money comes out, there will be taxes someday. So we're not saying there's never going to be taxes, but the exchange itself does not create the taxes.
And that was the answer for last week's question. This week we'll have a question a little bit later on the program. Don't forget the telephone number for Klaus Financial, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. And most weeks, and we basically talk about, you know, best ways to plan for retirement. Today, though, we're going to be talking about protections and how to protect those finances and security practices. And it seems like, and I will say this, I used to think, oh, people will get accustomed to, as we've kind of entered in and we're well into the digital age, people would get a little better about this stuff. We still do make a lot of mistakes, don't we?
We do. So, you know, as a fiduciary, as a wealth manager, our job is to help people obviously grow their portfolios, manage their overall financial plans, but also manage their financial risks. And so as part of the licenses that Malia and I had to take and pass certain exams to do what we do, it's amazing. There's this whole section in like these exams around different risks that affect people. Now, there's investment risk, whether it be interest rate risk or political risk or stock risk. And actually, the list goes on and on. But then there's this other risk that really in these exams doesn't get covered and yet hits a lot of our clients, especially as we enter retirement and we start losing touch with technology, right? And that is just basically fraud, right? Somebody stealing our identity. And so what we're going to be talking about here today, kind of taking a little bit of a turn in our trajectory of some of these shows, is talking about different ways to protect your identity. So there was a 2017 identity fraud study that was released by Javelin Strategy and Research, and it found that $16 billion with a B, was stolen from 15.4 million U.S. customers in 2016. And in the past 6 years, identity thieves have stolen over $107 billion from unsuspecting U.S. citizens. You know, this is a big topic. This is something that people need to be aware of and addressing, especially as the way in which you protect your security is becoming more digital, right? And so the question, what people are really pushing back against is, well, I need to move away from digital. right? Because that's how I get my identity stolen. And actually, well, good luck with that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even open up an account anywhere without an email address anymore. So it's going to be hard to avoid digital. You have to learn to interact with digital in a secure way.
And there have been some, you know, some changes that kind of have refocused some of the, I know, for example, credit cards. Now you point out, you know, it's gotten more secure, which means if you're a crook, if you're one of these thieves, oftentimes you're looking for maybe other avenues then to take advantage of people, aren't they?
Exactly. And you bring up a good point. We all thought once we got those microchips on our credit cards,
yeah.
which, you know, for those who don't know, that's that they've had those in Europe for the last 20 years. I mean, it took us that long to bring them over. And the reason it's taken so long to implement them is because it's quite costly for the companies to convert to accepting them. But we're seeing more and more issues with people, especially even using debit cards. We're seeing skimmers out there.
Yeah.
You go to the gas station, you get gas, you skim it, or restaurant, they take your card away, and they can steal your information. So there's so many different avenues now that you really do have to be in tune. And again, as CJ said, that's part of our responsibility to be kind of that sounding board for clients when they're dealing with these issues and trying to tell them other ways to prevent possible, you know, stealing of identities.
She is Malia Cuevas. He is CJ Kloss. They come to us from Kloss Financial. We'll talk about the top 10 ways to protect your financial information. We'll do that. We'll also take your calls and questions at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Don't forget, you can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You're also going to hold on to that telephone number. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we'll have the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Right now, taking more of your questions, and then we will return with the top 10 ways to protect your financial information as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Hanging out with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas from Kloss Financial, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. If you have questions, you can give us a call right now at the station, 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Don't forget Kloss Financial's office telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. It's not going to cost anything for that initial get to know you kick of the tires, as CJ likes to say, appointment. Again, their telephone number, 442-5637, online at klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Talking about protecting your financial information, and it's a big thing out there that people need to be aware of. Let's you guys have a great comprehensive list of some ways to protect your financial information. And one of the things I like how you phrase it is protecting your financial house. And let's talk about how people can do that and what that means.
Thank you for bringing this first topic up, Sean. Really what we're talking about is being smarter with the information that you have. And this information is just critical that you keep a close handle on. And I think when people listen this morning, they're going to be listening and saying, I'm guilty, because I hear this every day. People are carrying their Social Security card with them still to this day. That is not something you need to bring out more than once a decade, probably. When you get a job, maybe a passport, not even a passport anymore, there's hardly any reason to carry a Social Security card. Your PIN numbers, your passwords. I mean, people pull them out of their pocket. People pull them out of their purse. And the most common place that people keep their passwords is next to their computers at home.
Oh.
Okay? They keep them in a book and sitting there. So we're going to talk about some different ways to protect your passwords. Do not carry them in your wallet, your purse. Please do not do that. Second thing most people have caught on to is you really need to shred your financial statements. Now, you need to keep perhaps your quarterlies, your year-end for any of your financial investments, and then perhaps for some of the documents that you have for your after-tax investments. Those are important to go back to be able to see policy basis. But you can go to irs.gov. They'll tell you exactly which documents you need to save for how long, and that number is really changing. So get that shredded. You want to make sure you shred it with the, you know what, there, it's not just the strips anymore. It's more than that. You really need to almost turn it into confetti.
Yeah.
So be very, very careful. And it doesn't have to cost a lot. If you buy your own or go to the free shredding days, you can take a whole box and have that done free. So I'm going to let CJ talk about passwords. This is a great one for all you creative people out there. What do they need to be doing when they create their passwords?
Yeah, so as you go to create a password, whether it be a password to access your computer at home, access your computer on a network at work, or just setting up a username and password for your bank account online or your investments online, you want to make sure it is secure. Okay, and now the question, of course, is, well, what's secure? Well, number one, the longer the length, the harder it is to break. The less personal the information, meaning like if I just made mine Kloss 1234, that's a little easier to break. So don't make it very personal. Make it longer. Make sure there's an uppercase and a lowercase, numbers, and at least one special character. Most companies that implement usernames and passwords have adopted this protocol, right? They've adopted the ability for you to add in a special character, add in uppercase, lowercase, not all of them. So in the event that you can't put in a special character, just make sure that you extend the length. So here's the top five most hacked passwords that are out there today. First one is 123456. And by the way, I can't tell you the number of times we talk to people and, you know, they're talking to us about just even bank account passwords, like, oh, yeah, I use the same one for everything. Oh. 123456. And I go, oh, don't say that. The next most hacked is a lot different, though. The next one is 123456789. Now you, right?
Makes all the difference, yes.
See, CJ, I extended the length. I listened to you. The next one is password, right? So they make their password password.
With a capital P.
With a capital P. So they capitalized, right?
Sure.
Next one is admin, you know, on and on. Okay. So there, you guys get the idea. Listen, those are not secure. Don't do that. Don't do that. But again, extend them out, yes, but add in special characters. And again, don't put your date of birth. Don't just put Kloss. Put something, you know, that is only you would know. Now, I know what everybody's thinking. Well, good luck remembering that, right? So we are going to talk here in a moment. So how should you store those usernames and passwords? Because you're going to have to store them somewhere. Mm-hmm. The question is how, and we'll kind of turn that over to Malia here now.
So the first thing we wanted to mention is, you know, as CJ said, how long does it take to crack one of these? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to be a fraudster. That's what they call these people, a fraudster, to figure out, you know, who's going to crack it, how long would they take? Well, so what we've learned is that if you only have a 6-character password, it takes them about 11 hours to crack it. So that's, you know, it's incredible. It takes so little time. 7 characters actually takes 6 weeks. 8 characters, 5 months, and 9 characters, they say 10 years. But, you know, the faster and faster technology moves, we can imagine that's going to be brought down. So the 6 characters taking 11 hours, that should just alert you to increasing, add the extra 9, number 9 on there, the capital, a special character. But it's really, this is what they're telling us, it's really better to use passphrases. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's a way to say the Packers won the Super Bowl and kind of abbreviate that in just letters and characters or something that only you can remember, only you, and maybe your wife, I don't know. But you want to make sure that you're being creative. And then, as CJ said, how do you remember this? I mean, I can't remember the password I created 2 minutes ago. You have to have a password manager. Mm. And those password managers are offline. They can be password protected. You can't forget the one password that opens up the whole the whole notebook, so to speak. There's several different companies out there that you can purchase software through very inexpensively. One is eWallet. There's a couple others.
There's Regix. There's one called Password Manager. There's another one called Lockbox. There's a number of them out there. Our encouragement would be there's some that are web-based, right? You can actually be anywhere with internet access, and you can access this web-based password manager. And actually, I know some IT people that use them, so I'm not saying they're bad, but my fear would be every hacker in the world is going to want to access the web-based system, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you haven't heard a lot of fraud over those or a lot of breaking into them, so I think they're fairly secure. But we as an organization and I as an individual choose to use one that is not hosted on a web server somewhere that a hacker can access. It's hosted locally on our own network.
And they're not new. I've had mine for over 10 years I've been using. And, you know, I can't, as long as I don't forget that one code, I'm in good shape.
And that's the key. So these password managers will even say, hey, do you want us to create inside of this password manager for you a completely unique, you know, password so that when you go to say, hey, I need to change my password to, I don't know, United Airlines, my Mileage Plus program. You can actually say, hey, I want one special character, one uppercase, one lowercase, and two numbers, and it'll create something that you could never remember. Even yourself, you'll look and go, I'll never remember that. But that's the beauty. You don't need to. Right? You can have completely unique usernames and passwords across hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and then you just need to remember one really unique one to access the manager.
What about the temptation then to write this stuff down on paper?
Well, that's the point.
You can't
that's the point.
You put it right into your source
then.
Yeah.
Now, I am okay with, and I think this is taking one step further, sometimes people go, CJ, gosh, I'm just not comfortable with only having it there. What if the file gets corrupted or I can't access it? So sometimes there is an export option.
Yep.
Sometimes people will export it, print it, and then put it in a security box at their bank or something, or with their will or trust and estate plan in case they died. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. Totally fine. But the point is, don't print it off. Stick it in the drawer next to your computer, right? And gosh, I can't tell you the number of times clients come in, and if you're one of these clients, don't think I'm upset with you. Just change your behavior.
There's 100 of you.
They come out with their books, right? I got it in my little book in my wallet, and I go, oh my gosh, that just...
And
freaks me out.
And then your purse is stolen. It's not a good deal.
My old boss, Glenn, that owned the bowling alley here in town, he used to write all of his passwords back in the old days with the beige monitors in pencil around the monitor. So all of his usernames. And I had to talk. I said, Glenn, you can't do, like, banking and, like, for the business. I'm like, you can't do this stuff. But, it's convenient. You think, oh, who's going to see it? A lot of people, you put yourself in great, great danger there.
Well, and let me just address something quick, because I know there's people out there going, CJ, it's more secure in my wallet or purse than it is on my computer. Okay? I suppose depending upon how you're managing it on your computer, if you have it in a Word document, that would be true. If you are using one of these password managers that is on your PC that has one very unique access point of a username and password to access the robust wealth of usernames and passwords, my response would be completely wrong. You are totally wrong. It is much more secure on your computer in a password manager than it is in your purse. Even if somebody comes, picks up your computer, runs, takes it to their hacker friend and says, hack this computer, it still is significantly more secure in a password manager on your computer.
CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas joining us from Kloss Financial. Telephone number, if you have questions, 321-1310. You can find them online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. Been talking about computer security. We'll talk about some of the things that you need to be doing for your computer and things you should be doing right now. We will do that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And don't forget, you can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You're also going to hold on to that telephone number a little bit later in the segment. We will have our Kloss Quiz question of the week. Talking this morning about ways to protect your finances and best practices when it comes to security. Great information about passwords and protecting your financial information. Let's talk about the devices themselves, and that is a big vulnerability as we see our computers regularly say, hey, you got to update this, that, or the other thing. But that's an important part of it, isn't it? Making sure that your computer is secure.
Yeah, and I'm guilty here. My husband would attest to that if he was listening. Updating your home computer, making sure you're maintaining the antivirus, anti-spam, and spyware detection. I mean, that is what's happening for a lot of people, that they accidentally go onto a website that downloads some spyware, malware onto their computers, which can really be a horrible thing if people are reading anything about your computer basically being taken hostage. It is really very possible that can happen if, in fact, you're not updating regularly. Now, you need to be the one that's pursuing the updates. Every time they come across and say, it's time to update, that might not even be the real deal. Mm-hmm. It might be coming from somewhere else. So be wise about that. When it's ready to expire, you're the one who needs to go out and extend it. When you're accessing your computer, even from home, be very careful. I mean, I go on our internet and I see there's about 12 other internets in my neighborhood that I could accidentally try to get on, right? So be careful, especially out in public. Wi-Fi sounds great, free for those people who maybe don't have it at home. That's fabulous, except public Wi-Fi, there's a lot of criminals out there trying to steal your information, especially when you're in hotels. Let's just start there. Hotels, probably the worst in a lot of situations. So that's not the time to necessarily look at all your financial transactions is while you're in your hotel. It has to be a pretty secure secure site.
My daughter, she has an iPod, and when we go places, I'm amazed at how she can get access to the internet. And so at one point I stopped, I go, whoa, 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 what internet are you on? Because her iPod, you know, needs Wi-Fi access. And she goes, well, see, I just pull up the Wi-Fi and I look for whatever's available and I click on it and I go, oh, boy. So see, folks, even people like us who know this stuff, our children haven't been taught. So it is a learning curve and we can all make mistakes. But certainly when you're out in public, be careful with those free Wi-Fis. If you're going to access them, certainly, as Malia said, don't be looking at private information.
You know, another thing we run into and hear a lot about in the news is emails and people kind of getting lured in by an email that may look legit or something like that. People got to be cautious, don't they?
Yeah, and they look more and more real every day. The other day I got one from a very large company that my husband works for, and I showed it to him. I mean, it's just completely incorrect, you know, and what happens is you click on those and then suddenly the phishing starts. They're looking for you to answer a question, and next thing you know, they're in your computer. So you have to be so careful. Make sure you know who it's from. Make sure you're highlighting over the email to see what the end of the last few letters are, because that'll tell you a lot if it's legitimate. A big thing I wanted to point out too is that when you're on a different, your banking site or wherever your investments, make sure you log out at the end. Again, guilty, guilty, guilty. Not logging out is not a good thing because that's where people can get into your information.
And real quick before we get to the Kloss Quiz question of the week, just some things about being observant and tracking this stuff, and of course monitoring yourself or checking your credit to make sure that people haven't accessed this stuff, right?
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways to check your credit. Probably the number one that I'm a fan of is actually Credit Karma. It's there. You've seen it on the ads out there, but it's actually really fantastic. You set up a basic access point to Credit Karma, again, a secure username and password to access it, and then you can go in, and it doesn't hurt your credit to actually be checking your credit constantly, right? A lot of people think of that as a hard inquiry, but it's actually not. If you're just checking your credit, it doesn't show up as a hard inquiry, and that will then alert you. You can set up alerts to say, if any new account is open, Credit Karma, just shoot me a notice, and that's a free service, so I would encourage everybody, if you haven't gone to Credit Karma or a site like that, I think there's another one called annualcreditreport.com. The idea is to be checking your credit, knowing what credit accounts are available under your social security number, and then be monitoring.
And those two are free.
And I'm Credit Karma, so I use that. It's a really, really cool program. So some great options out there. And, of course, keep yourself secure. Keep yourself safe. Mention a couple of things. Of course, the website, KlaasFinancial.com. While we're talking websites, KlaasFinancial.com. That's spelled K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You're going to want to hold on to that telephone number because it's now time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I will ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial Office at 608 608- 442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you will win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Google Play. This week's Kloss Quiz question of the week is this. How long does it take for a fraudster to crack a six-letter password today? Telephone number 442-5637, 442-5637. First call with the correct answer will win that $25 gift card for Google Play. Don't forget that number as well. Set up an appointment. No cost for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. Again, their numbers 442-5637 and the website klossfinancial.com. CJ, Malia, you guys have a fantastic week.
Thanks.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.